You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I'm going to be watching it with my family. You know, my daughter is home from Germany after 3 years, so I'm very, very happy to share that with you. And Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. I'm going to be watching Jake Luton real close this weekend to see if he can actually put a stamp on the fact that the Jaguars have given him the keys to this team as of right now. This is Tony Wiggins with the Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. What I mean by that is, I know you guys are probably saying, well, Gardner Minshew's injured. They haven't necessarily said that Jake Luton is the starter if Gardner isn't, you know, injured. Yeah, but they haven't said he's not either. And that's my point. They haven't said that they're going to give the reins of the team back to Gardner Minshew when Gardner Minshew returns, and if he returns back from his quote-unquote injury. You know, he was actually listed on the report, on the injury report, as questionable. So that at least it's not just an out now. He's, you know, he's feeling better. So I don't know if that means he's going to play. I don't know if it means he's going to dress. I don't know if that means he'll be available or whatever. But what I do know is this. What I know is Jake Luton has a chance to continue to press this coaching staff if he goes out and continues to play well. You can get this here every day on Locked On Jaguars because it's your team every day, and you can subscribe on Google Podcasts. Why is it important for Jake Luton to establish himself if the Jaguars, as we all think, are going to go out and get one of those two superstar quarterbacks at the top of the draft next year? It's important to me because they're going to have a backup, and you know, and it helps the team if you have an experienced backup who's on a rookie deal that you don't have to pay a lot of money. So that means you have two quarterbacks on rookie deals, even though one is a first-round pick. It's still it's a rookie first-round pick deal, so it's not a backbreaker in terms of the salary cap. That gives you a tremendous amount of flexibility where you can take money and spend it in other areas on the football team. Now, just because you have the cash doesn't mean that you're going to make the right decisions as the Jaguars haven't in the past. And just because you have the cash, it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to convince and coax top talent to come to Jacksonville. I do think if you look at the free agency lists as they are right now, it's going to change, because I think what's going to happen is you're going to see a lot of guys get released because the salary cap, teams will have to get under the salary cap. So there will probably be more guys available as free agency approaches, or during free agency, or even maybe at a second or third phase of free agency. You'll see more guys become available as it progresses towards whenever mini camps and all of that stuff is open. So it's important to me that one of these guys distinguishes himself as the clear backup. And then maybe what will happen is the Jaguars can then use that position as leverage, and other teams will get jealous of that, especially if they have either a high-priced player that they're already paying, or they have a high-priced backup and they need salary cap space. Then they'll make a trade, and you'll be able to, if you're Jacksonville, parlay a six-round pick, whether it's Minshew or whether it's Luton. You'll be able to parlay that into a higher draft choice. Now, what's the value of a guy who's a proven commodity at the quarterback position, that even if he doesn't prove he's a starter, if you're going to trade a guy to a team that is in the market for a backup, what's the value? There are a lot of teams that use fourth round picks on guys that they want to put in development, or fourth round picks on guys that they know are going to be backups. Like, for instance, I believe Pittsburgh a couple of years ago used the third round pick on Rudolph out of Oklahoma State. You catch a team like that that has a veteran presence at quarterback, or let's just say you catch a team like the Los Angeles Chargers that may not want to pay Tyrod Taylor $8 million to be the backup behind Justin Herbert. It's a perfect place for you to send a young man that has a start under his belt, that has played well enough to warrant the fact that he's better than what you spent for him as a sixth-round pick, and maybe get a fourth-round pick for him and therefore stack more picks for the future. So that's why I think it's important. And every day it's important that you listen to this podcast, because you can hear it here every day because it's your team on Locked On Jaguars, and you can subscribe on Google Podcasts. All right, so I'm going to give you guys a wish list for in the first segment, or the first segment after the initial pause here in the second segment. I'm gonna tell you what a wish list is for tomorrow. For Sunday. Well, Sunday's wish list for things that could possibly help the Jaguars compete. I won't even say win, because we're just in compete phase right now. All right? So, I don't want to get anybody all up in arms about trying to win the game, because I don't want to have that debate again right this minute. And then in the last segment, what we'll do is we'll discuss and we'll talk about some injured guys and some banged up guys, and a trend that you really don't want to see, especially from certain guys that had a history of being injured in college. And you wondered if it was going to carry over to the pros. So what we'll do is we'll touch on that wish list first, and we'll get with that. It's a wish list for what you want to see on Sunday. We won't include a victory, because you guys will get all over me about that. I know you don't want to see them win. So in just a second here, after a word from our great sponsors from Pepsi, we're going to come back and discuss a wish list, things you want to see this Sunday from the Jaguars against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we'll do that in just a second here on the weekend edition of Locked On Jaguars. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is right here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I love watching with friends and family, and I know you probably do too. And Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, so we're discussing a wish list here. If you had a wish list of things that you could see this weekend from the Jacksonville Jaguars, what would it be? All right. I think it would be feistiness. As a team, you want to see some feistiness. You want to see some fight. The way you saw him play in Green Bay, and the way you saw him play at home against Houston, and maybe even the way that they played on the road against Tennessee early in the year, you want to see them when they go up against a good team. The three best games they played this year, they played against probably three of the four best teams that they have played. I'd include Miami in that bunch. And maybe Miami wasn't as good then as they are now. But I do think that the three best games they played this year have been against at least – I do believe the two best games they played have been against the two best opponents, and that's the Colts and the Steelers. The Dolphins and the Titans – are the other two games that I can tell you that are that involve at least the four best teams that they've played. I don't think Green Bay is – well, I'll put Green Bay in that bunch too, but I think Green Bay is also very good. The thing is the Jaguars, they have a tendency to do that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they came out here and gave a spirited effort here this Sunday. And their history with the Steelers, believe it or not, even though, we can go through history and say that the Steelers are arguably one of the best teams that have ever played, and the Jaguars are the total opposite, the bottom line is they have a good history and a good record against Pittsburgh. They absolutely do. So, for me, it comes down to just wanting to see guys play well and wanting a spirited effort. Offensively, that's Jake Luton. You want to continue to see him do what he does. He has to find his weapons that starts and stops with DJ Chark. Supplement that with some Keelan Cole and Chris Conley. And then I know James Robinson's a little banged up with his shoulder, but he's going to play. So you want to get James Robinson going. And then that means that the offensive line, if they're protecting the quarterback and if they're creating holes against a really, really good front seven against Pittsburgh, and some would even say a great front seven, well, that means you got something to build on with the young offensive line. And that means that in hindsight or retrospect, that Doug Marrone and Dave Caldwell were right about the offensive line. They were absolutely correct about the offensive line, where most of us thought differently about the offensive line. We didn't necessarily believe that the offensive line was as good. And that's one thing that they've been better on and more right about than wrong. The offensive line is pretty damn good. The offensive line has turned out to be pretty, pretty good. So that you want to see offensively. Defensively, you want to continue to see Miles Jack do Miles Jack type things, because he's really headed towards, like, especially if they had more victories, he'd be headed towards, in my opinion, an all-pro season. And he still might make it because of the way he's played. But Miles Jack is playing lights-out football this year and doing very well. Now, it's a little disheartening that C.J. Henderson has been placed on IR because of a hamstring. You wanted to continue to see him develop. Jarrett Wilson has continued to play well. You still want to see him. Hey, and let's give Devon Hamilton some more love. You want Devon Hamilton to keep looking like that beast that has just been unleashed. To see if Josh Allen also, the second-year player out of Kentucky, to see if he can continue to progress and play well like he has the last couple of games and look better as the year has moved on. And then you start seeing these little pieces come into place. And if those two things happen, now that's when you wake up Kalavon Chaisson. You want to see his continued growth and continued development. All of these things is the feistiness. You want to see all of that stuff. Now, I know everybody out there saying, now, wait a minute. If you keep showing all of this good stuff, that means they might keep everybody. They might keep the coaching staff because it'll look like the team turned the corner. That's another story, right? That's a whole nother story. I think it's important, though, that you at least see some form of better play, even if you're going to make a change, because then you can, if you don't see better play, then you get rid of the coach, then you're still unsure whether the players are any good, right? So at least have the players show you something. And then if you have to make the change based on what has gone on here long term, you at least know the players, you have been given an idea that the players are capable, that they're capable of getting it done. And if you have to replace people, then you just go ahead and replace people. Yeah, so those are the wish lists. Those are the things. And by the way, you can get more special teams play. More plays in special teams. The Jag has they have a blocked punt for a return early this year. And they have a punt return, a 94-yard punt return this year, which they got last week from Keelan Cole. So they made plays on special teams as well. And you want to continue to see those young guys do that, because the special teams is full of young guys. So you want to continue to see them do that. Because one thing I will tell you is Joe DeCamillo is going to be whoever, if they do make a coaching change, Joe D is probably going to be a guy that's going to be retained unless somebody's crazy. Because I would suspect that him and Keenan McCardell would probably be two people that any coaching staff would take a long, hard look at. So we're going to take this final pause here for the weekend. And when we get back, look at some things you don't want to see. I mentioned C.J. Henderson's injury. There's another injury that I did not mention, and this one scares me a little bit, and I'll tell you the story as to why, and I'll do it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. So, a couple of injuries. C.J. Henderson with a pulled hammy. You never want to see these cornerbacks get these tissue injuries. John Springs pulled a hamstring, a groin, an abdominal, or something. He was real muscular and a very athletic dude, but it just always seems he never lived up to his potential because of those soft tissue injuries. I hate when cornerbacks get those, because especially a guy like CJ, who depends so much on his athleticism and that twitchy ability to change pace and that ability to change directions. You just don't want a guy to get banged up. You don't want corners to have those injuries. It's like joint injury, any kind of injury for a corner, but especially those types of injuries, because those things just seem to linger. They really seem to linger, and once the more they linger, it starts kind of like making you think that those things are always going to happen. So you don't really want to see those, but hopefully he'll take some time off and he'll get right, and we'll see if they bring him back by the end of the year. But you really hate to see that for a young player who had a real good physical game last week in Green Bay, even though he gave up, you know, a score late to a great player. But still, really, really good player. And when he's on, he's on. You know, he's been up and down a little bit, but when he's definitely on, he's definitely on. The one that concerns me is on the other side of the ball, and that's with Laviska Shenault. We saw him either last week or the week before, he kind of reached back and grabbed that hammy and go down. When he got here, the reason why he fell into the draft was because he couldn't work out in time, and folks were always concerned about his injuries. So when he got here, we're at training camp, and I'm looking, and we're all noticing him. And the one thing we looked and we noticed about him is he's yoked. He's built. I mean, he's built like a RoboCop, man. The dude is like he's built in a lab or something. And the fact that he looks that way and appears that way, you just wonder. And me and my buddy, Frank Frangie, who is the play-by-play, we were talking, and we were like, man, he could be great. He looks like a guy who could really be great. And both of us kind of said at the same time, if he stays healthy. And that doesn't mean that we thought he had injury concerns. For me, I ain't going to speak for Frank, but for me, what it says was when you look at a guy that's yoked and built like that, you're just always a little bit concerned about the fact that he might pull something. And the fact that he's such a physical runner and that he tries to break tackles and he tries to run through and run over people, guys are going to be pulling at his limbs and all of that stuff. It's just amazing to me that to sit here and think of one of the biggest concerns that you have about a player is his ability to be healthy because of what you see, and combine that a little bit with the history that he has as a, you know, as being a little bit banged up, especially right before the draft. And which some people will criticize teams for drafting players that have injury history. And I don't necessarily think that having one injury here or there it means you're chronically or historically injury prone. But I will tell you that there was just some concern amongst a bunch of people every time they talked. They was like, he's got it. If he stays healthy. There was no one that I talked to that didn't say two things, two separate, two different things about Laviska Shenault. One of them was that he was a physical freak and that he looked the part. Okay, both of those together. And the other thing was that they hoped he stayed healthy. So it's amazing that every conversation I ever had with everybody was about those two things. Looks the part, he's got to stay healthy. And you hate to be the guy that talks about cliches and speaks in cliches, but here's the cliche: your best ability is availability. And it is what it is. With Laviska Shenault, that's what it's going to be. And now with him and C.J. Henderson, probably the two guys that I was most concerned with that kind of stuff happening. And with C.J., it was because C.J.'s like 6'1 and a half, I guess, but he's like really, really slender, and he looks slim, and there was questions about his ability to tackle. I was never worried about his athleticism. I may have been worried about his physicality. And sometimes when that takes on a life of its own, guys start being more and more physical and more and more physical just to prove, and they throw their body in there and throw their body around, and then they start breaking down. So the concern that I have for those two, we'll see moving forward. Neither one of them's playing tomorrow. But we'll see moving forward if there's going to be a problem or if the Jaguars can get them back and at least show something for the rest of the year. Now, if they don't get him back, it's not the end of the world. But it is going to be something that you'll have to add to the fact that we haven't seen Josh Oliver for 2 years or a year and a half, and we're not probably going to see anything from him. You know, you'll start to get to the point where you're dependent on too many guys that are banged up. You get to the point where you have too many guys on your team that you hope to play critical roles that have these soft tissue type injuries, and all three of them are guys. Well, I think with Oliver and I, it's a broken bone in his foot, but the first year it was a soft tissue type injuries. So those are the things that concern me about those guys moving forward. Let's just hope, too, since we got our wish list in the first, in the second segment, let's just hope in this third segment that what we do, you know, as a team is that they don't come out with any more significant injuries, especially from young guys, because that'll be too many young guys going into the offseason with too many questions. All right, man, so you guys have a good weekend. You have a good Friday. You guys enjoy it. I'll try to enjoy it myself. You know, take the game in Sunday with your family. Remember, have an ice-cold Pepsi to do it. And take care of each other. And you remind to follow along here on Spotify, subscribe on iTunes or Apple, and on Google Podcasts. This is Tony Wiggins, your host of Locked On Jaguars, your team every day here. See you guys Monday on Locked On Jaguars.